Okay, what are we doing this time?
Gary, welcome to my VR zone.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, I know that you're not really a believer because you physically get ill when you try it.
Yep.
What a wuss. You have given me shit for liking to do stuff in VR that I can do in my real dang life.
That's true. Like, yeah, yard work simulator.
Yeah. But, you know, I think you really gave me some shit when I brought up the power wash simulator, that I preferred the VR version of that. So I want to see if I can get you to catch the bug.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have a bug catching simulator? Is that what I'm going to?
No. That is...
That's actually very problematic. There are forums about that.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm aware of that from Something Awful, and
that's
really
a simulator. It's
out.
Not a simulator.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, no. So I'm just let me just bolt this to your head.
Okay.
Ow. You just use one of those like air wrench sounds, like from from a pit crew. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have analyzed your time spent doing a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to present to you what the system believes will be the best simulator for you based on the things you do in your real life.
Okay. I like it. Sleep simulator, rest simulator, attending to shit simulator. Like, not doing any of those things well simulator.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let me, just, beep, boop, 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 boop. And there we go. What do you see?
Okay.
What do you see around you?
I see a computer and a microphone. Okay.
All right.
And I see a desk. There's a bunch of toys on it. My phone, my water bottle's here.
Okay.
And a bunch of games. My Steam window's open.
Okay. What? Yeah. Well, that's weird. This must be some kind of like launcher or whatever.
Yeah. Well, let me try it. Let me try doing the virtual. I'm going to play Wasteland 3 a little bit.
Okay.
In the virtual thing.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. I kind of get it.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Gary, it says that it's a game. Gary, I think what you've wandered into is a gamer simulator.
Gamer simulator.
And I am some kind of demiurge. I have trapped you in a false reality.
Yeah, I do not know that I'm... Yeah, you know, that would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, shit. Yeah. Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, where we are now legally obligated to inform you that it's illegal to take a screenshot of our sad ducky duck feed NFTs and resell them on the Facebook marketplace.
Dirty pool, guys. Come on. Straighten up. All right.
We own them.
Mm-hmm. And this week we're talking, this is a K-pick. I just went to my list of stuff that stuck out to me and I was like, it's been a while since I've done a dumb simulator. I'm real sorry, Gary.
It's okay. I think there's a little bit more to talk about with this. This is kind of interesting, almost.
Just about. There's not an awful lot to it, but we can talk about what this is. Gamer Simulator. This was put into the suggestion machine by Sybil, and I think Sybil gave us, like, at least gave me gift copies of this. Like, this was already in my library, and I wouldn't have bought this.
Yeah.
So.
It doesn't like make a great first impression if you just look at it.
No, nothing about it is good.
And it's just 99 cents, but I can't recommend you buy it.
No, God, no.
We're going to spoil the kind of idea and joke behind this. But like, if this just had more work put into it, you know, this was 10 years ago.
Yes.
It's a 10-year-old game. If this were still in development and they were adding things to it, there's something here that's kind of interesting.
Yes.
But it does not pay off on it, I think.
This one person is not equipped, I think, to deliver on what this what this is.
Yeah. It's kind of delightfully meta as an idea.
Right. Yeah.
You start out in a Unity zone and you are locked in and you go to your computer to play a game. You have 3 meters, a cheeseburger, water, and a controller.
Yeah.
and those are your 3 things, and they drain rapidly.
They drain so fucking fast.
I died of thirst in this game more than I have in any survival game.
None of the games have water. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when your avatar, so you go and you sit on the game, play on the couch, and it starts one of three games of different genres, which I think is a clever idea.
Yeah.
If this had tons of genres, you know, this is kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. So when you sit down at the computer, you know, it will pull up a random game and you've got to accomplish a goal within, you know, within that game in order to get a key that will unlock the room, you know, Silent Hill 4, the room-esque prison.
Yes. To bring you into just another room that has the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. Because of the aforementioned burn rate on the thirst meter specifically, I didn't win at any of these. So
the games are woefully unbalanced. There's three of them. There's the one that's easiest is the shooter. It's a zombie shooter. And there I found water, like water spawned in that map. So I didn't die of thirst.
No fucking water spawned. It's also a dark map. It's kind of like, what if Slender the Return was a shooter? Also, like, the enemy asset that they have coming at you is just bald Slavic guys in tracksuits.
When you shoot them, they become just the lower waist of a bald Slavic guy in a tracksuit. Like, just the business half. That one had water for me, so I went to the next room, but the next room was the same thing. I was expecting there to be another set of three games. There's not.
No, it's just those. So there's that shooter. It's really easy because stuff just runs at you from wherever it is on the map. It's easy to get surrounded on it. But if you treat it like a Vampire Survivors, you're probably fine. Yeah.
Yeah. If you just work backwards. There's a platformer in which you're jumping all the time.
It's you know what? It's most similar to that Pringles game that we played for the Genesis, where your character is kind of like auto bouncing and you have to you know, move in the middle of the bounce, like up and down these platforms.
Yep. And it's fine, but you have to have water.
There's one, you have to have water. There's the last pickup and the water power up that you would need are on a platform that is so high up. I had no idea how to get to it.
Yeah. I did not unlock it.
No.
And then the weirdest choice of all is the third one is a Fez.
It's a Fez-alike.
Yeah. It does the rotation thing that Fez does. I'm sure it doesn't have like the big ARG, you know, ooh, I'm clever, I'm Phil Fish, like puzzle to it. But it's a Fez-like. It's a platformer where you can turn this like tower in four different directions.
Yeah.
And it has really bad jump controls. And it's hard. Like it's very difficult. You need water. And you have to kind of puzzle out where to go, but these meters are draining incredibly rapidly. Like I could not make any progress in that one.
So rapidly that in the in the shooter, like what happens is like when you grab a pickup, like that item just like appears in the real world on the screen because like you can see your controller. You're playing the player of these appears, and then like you're a munching sound and the screen warps for like just enough time to burn more of whatever meter you're most worried about, and for enemies to catch up to you.
Yeah. And the only thing we talked about those three meters, we have hunger and thirst, which we get through playing games. And then your boredom, which is the controller, which did you start a game and not do anything?
No, I didn't.
You die of boredom. Your controller drains and your character dies because you're not playing a game, which I think is kind of funny.
That is funny. I'm a gamer. I got a game.
Yeah. You know, there's something to this. You're locked in the room. The door to leave says like this way to freedom or something like that. Like there's something there kind of.
Yeah, you know, I like the idea of like a Gaius or a Hex. That's like, oh, you like survival games, do you? Well, you know, now it's tied to your real life. You know, TikTok. Yeah.
Finding water in the game is the only way you get water in real life. You know, is crazy because a lot of games don't have water.
You know, certainly not potable water. For a lot of games, you die when you go in the water.
Yeah, you die from drinking it as well. Mm-hmm. Like you need to get a life straw, and like Mario does not have a life straw.
No, they don't have the technology.
No, not in the Mushroom Kingdom. They don't fucking need it. You know, he doesn't have to hydrate. Mm-hmm. So like there's something here, but it would need a lot more.
Yeah.
Be like tuned a little differently. None of the mini games are fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like if these were fun, I think there's something to this.
Yeah.
Somebody could take this skeleton and do something cool with it.
Like what you're kind of proposing is a like horror ish slash existential ish like arcade paradise, or like you get a little bit of that in the coin game, right? Where, yes, like, you know, you've got these meters that are going down and you have to go and play these ticket games in order to be able to afford junk food.
Yeah, but it's way more atmospheric and the games are fun. There's nothing online about this, unsurprisingly.
Real.
In the Steam forums, Hat8, when this came out, says, is this game a sexist game? Is it going to be having achievements? And the title for that is this game sexist? Also achievements is the title for that post, which I think is very funny.
Yeah. I don't know. Wow. That made it through Greenlight? Who am I kidding? Of course it made it through Greenlight, because why not?
Yeah. It's 2015, like a year where it was really good to bag on Greenlight.
Yeah.
That's what we were doing. Mm-hmm. You know? Greenlight was just a way for, you know, before you just bought your way onto the Steam store, you had to like pass ostensibly like a hurdle.
Yeah. Like you had to put it up and get enough people like wishlisting it in order to get a Steam page, I guess. And then Valve realized, oh, we can just sell everything. Like we don't need to, there doesn't need to be a barrier to entry here.
If you scroll down on there, there's also all these like windows into 2015. Somebody says this is Sarkeesian approved. The anti-Gamergate cloud probably worked together really hard to come up with this gem. Good show. And
are they seriously talking about the Idle Thumbs cabal?
Yeah, they're saying this is an SJW game, which is
this. Yeah, I'm as attuned as anybody.
There's no content in it.
No,
like there's no. There's nothing, it can't be saying something political because it can't be saying.
Yeah.
You know, and it's certainly not saying anything about the Gamergate conflict.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's talking about that like a desert storm, like, you know, the conflict. But it's certainly not saying anything about that. It's great. Yeah. It's a non sequitur, you know?
Well, will this game teach me how video games teach us, how video game developers teach us how to objectify women? In other words, will I learn how I learn to hate women? I don't know, Jumper 7.
Somebody got mad at this because they assumed somebody was making a gaming simulator to make fun of gamers, which is the most defensive thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, that is so open nerve behavior.
You know what it is? Like, it was actually kind of concurrent with this. Netflix put out a series of which I know nothing. It was a comedy series called Dear White People.
Okay. Yeah, and apparently, I remember like, that.
It's just a sitcom starring black people and is not even like primarily about racism. But like everybody without even seeing a single frame just reacted to the title and made up a show about like, you know, all of the standard, you know, white grievance people.
Reverse racism.
Yeah.
Ugh. You know, like the Reverse Flash.
Yeah, so like oh, just talking about gamers, you know, but like, oh, but gamers are going to rule the world, don't you know that?
Yeah. Well, you don't fuck with them. They, you know, they don't need to have sex because Dark Souls fucks them every day. Uh-huh. You shouldn't mess with them because the thing you know about them is that they try and try and try, no matter how hard they have to grind.
They've lived
in stick-to-itiveness.
They've lived entire lifetimes and worlds more fantastic than you could conceive of.
Yeah, they played Oblivion. You know, is that something to be respected? Like, it's real bleak.
Yeah.
Like, and I hate you. Life is bad now and the world is bad. Mm-hmm. I am encouraged when I see a sign that we have made at least a little bit of progress.
Mm-hmm.
Hear me out. I'm not saying that like these people don't exist now. Right.
Right. Right.
But the discourses we're on now are annoying, and there are a lot of harmful discourses.
Backed up by a lot of actual harassment. Right.
Yeah. Of course. But we're not doing this now.
Yeah.
Like this specific thing with the Anita Sarkeesian, like gamer persecuted thing has gone to the back burner. Like people understand that Grums is a joke.
Yes.
You know, that's good. Mm hmm. I'll take that W. Like you made a little bit of progress there.
Yeah. Like so they're trying to make this happen, but all that exists for is the grift. The only audience for any of that shit is somebody who wants to participate and try and glean money themselves by being, you know, the N-word gamer, like we joke about, right? So like it's basically just a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. It's less in mainstream. Like it's not breaking through as much.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of cordoned itself off. Not saying it's not harmful or not that it should not be eliminated from our culture.
Yeah.
But it's just not as big as it was in 2015 because 2015 was crazy.
I don't know. I don't know about big. I think it's like weirdly like more focused and less diffuse, right? Like, I don't know that you're going to get people going in and, you know, putting on a bunch of armor to fight an ice cream sundae like this.
Yeah.
You know, specifically about it. Like it is specifically directed campaigns. Like I'm thinking about people who threw a fucking fit because that Assassin's Creed game had a black person in it. Right.
But it goes away though. Like it doesn't feel like a sustained campaign. Like that happens. They get real mad and then nothing happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because obviously they're wrong. You know, about it. Mm-hmm. Like it's not about that.
Yeah.
You know, that just wasn't a super good game.
Yeah.
You know? Like a lot of the, you know, the go woke, go broke stuff, it just like makes tons of money because nobody cares because it's a fake reality.
Yeah.
You know, that they live in. They're living in a constructed reality. Mm-hmm. So like that's kind of nice.
Yeah. That is kind of nice. It's nice. Like I also think that a little bit of this happened because like the gamer identity movement or whatever, like it just, that just got folded in with like fascist shit. Like gamer capital G is a political block now.
Yeah.
And like they
focus on other things. They focus on policy.
Yeah. No, they're real wonks is what they are.
Yeah. They're beltway wonks.
Yeah. It is not like an insurgent movement within people who are otherwise consumers of video game media. Video game media doesn't fucking exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Way to damper my thing. I was kind of okay with.
I'm just
feeling refreshed about the. No, it is worse. I agree.
Sorry. No, I'm just like, but like it, like the this is quaint. This does this does feel quaint, and it is a reminder of a time when it felt like it was. I don't know. I look back at this and think, man, we thought this was bad. Like it was bad. It was so bad for so many people. Like just the fact that. Just Gamergate was the predecessor for fucking everything we live through right now. Like as a, you know, we're looking at the abscess. The abscess has broken and it's in the bloodstream now. Right. Yeah.
I'm grateful for fresh hells.
Yes.
I guess, more than anything, the, that kind of moving on, like I hinted at a digression during this. Are you familiar with the 2005 reality TV series? Who's Your Daddy?
No, I'm not.
It's nuts. They only aired one episode. The idea was they had a lady who was adopted. And then they had eight men who claimed and pretended to be her father. If one of them fooled her, they got $100,000.
Oh my God.
And they all, it begins with this supercut of just Tim and Eric's side character, old men, just going, I'm your father. And it just cuts from Tim and Eric, old man to, and I really wish this ran for like a season so I could stitch together all of those. And you just saw like an extra in an HR training video going, I'm your father, and just click between them and fucking hypnotize yourself with just these old men. But what a cruel TV show.
Yeah. Oh my. So like, was the real father actually in there or was it just,
they threw him in the mix and he agreed to this. What a monstrous thing.
Holy shit. Well, and so did the daughter too.
Yeah.
God, good Lord.
Cause she has a 1 in 8 chance of finding her father. Like what kind of Running Man bullshit is this?
Yeah. So like if say you're wrong, say that you get the right guy. Do they get the $100,000, but then they have to continue being that grown woman's dad? Like you got to go play catch.
Yeah. They have to maintain the masquerade. I don't know what happens then. Cause they only showed one pilot of it and I haven't actually watched an episode of this show.
Okay.
I just learned about it. It's one of the cruelest reality TV show things I've heard of for a while.
No, that's wow. That was shelved after the first episode.
First episode, they produced that's six ridiculous. And did not air the rest.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
eventually aired on the Fox Reality Channel.
Yeah. After the pilot finished fourth, Fox decided not to broadcast the other five episodes. Fourth is not necessarily terrible. They must have
largely critical reception.
Okay.
Like, there was a grassroots campaign among adoptive parents and protest from national adoption organizations.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that supports the theme that I want to work into a piece of literature, that adopted children aren't real children.
Okay.
That I haven't been able to, I haven't been able to make, I want to find some art that says that. Uh-huh. So I had to be the change. This was that a little bit. This was on that. This is a window into reality in which that was able to be, to happen.
It's like, so like with The Bachelor or anything of that ilk, like, yeah, we're looking for love. Like, the premise is at the end, there's supposed to be a marriage or whatever, but it's for the show. It is manufacturing a life defining event, in this kind of kayfabe. Like that is gross. And I think ultimately pretty bad for everybody involved in both production and consumption. But like, finding out that you're adopted and also deciding to give a child up for adoption, like, those are actual life defining, like, cornerstone deals. This actually happened. It's not something made up for funsies. That is fucking wild to me.
It's more traumatic than a wedding.
Yeah. The person who came up with this, the inventor of this, presented by Finola Hughes, executive producers, there's no creator on this. Nobody takes credit for it.
Nobody, yeah.
Have they been sealed in a lead vault for coming up with this?
I almost guarantee they just made other horrible reality shows.
Yeah.
Like, it was just kind of the style at the time.
Yeah.
But it's like the cruelest premise.
Yeah.
I've seen. And when I was watching, I was looking at this thing about old reality shows. This is how I found out about Knights and Warriors. I saw two other ones, one of which I think is a good version of this, mm-hmm. that I think is funny. Okay. And then one of them I just wanted to remind you of. Do you remember the TV show Mr. Personality?
No, I do not. Mr. Personality.
Yeah. Google image search Mr. Personality reality show.
A Google image search. Okay. Wait.
Yeah. Because you have to see the mask they made the bachelors wear.
Oh my God.
The idea was the bachelorette just had to get to know them for their personality.
Okay.
But the way they decided to do this was have all these men in suits wear Dr. Doom masks. It's like, which of these 16 Dr. Dooms are you going to date?
Yeah.
Literally.
But also, like, you get to see two major things about a person. This does not obscure. Eventually, I think this would be that this landed on like Dating in the Dark. It's kind of a similar premise to this.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
A less disturbing one, like one that doesn't activate your fight or flight when you watch it.
Yeah, it's not. Oh God, and they're all the same color too.
Yeah, yeah,
it's straight up a Dr. Doom mask missing a chin. But like you can still see, like, oh, they can cut a figure in a tuxedo.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And also,
it's
like,
not gonna go into body positivity.
Yeah.
Not that kind of personality. Just what degree of handsome are they?
And you can see their teeth.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Monica Lewinsky hosted this? You talk about burying the fucking lead. Yeah.
Yeah. Monica Lewinsky hosted this. Poor girl. I want a real version of this where you have two of them, but it's just MF Doom and Dr. Doom. And they just sneak into the cast. So, like, you have a chance of getting the rare pick, like the Chase blind box.
Uh-huh.
And you accidentally pick MF Doom.
Then do you also have to die under tragic circumstances?
In this reality, MF Doom's alive.
Okay, he's alive.
Just because I'm wishing.
Wait a minute. So you get a bunch of people all in the MF Doom mask, and the woman has to identify the real MF Doom?
No, she just gets to pick who she wants to date.
Okay.
And if she picks MF Doom, Yahtzee.
Okay.
The only thing I learned about this show, other than just the disturbing mask, is one of the guys gets rejected, and he took off his mask against the rules to show her the face she was rejecting. And it unsurprisingly did not work. He was like, oh, you got rid of me? And then he pulls this off. He's like, I'm pretty handsome. And she's just like, no.
Yeah, no.
Got disqualified.
Asshole. I love it when somebody breaks the rules like that. That is
it's great.
Always funny.
It's really good.
Whenever I think of out-of-pocket reality shows, I always think of The Chamber. Are you aware of The Chamber,
No, tell me
Gary?
About The Chamber.
Okay. The chamber was it also had six. Also had six episodes. Only three of the six episodes were aired. The idea is contestants, always one male and one female. They have to go inside the chamber, which is basically like a torture chamber.
Okay. Welcome to the torture
chamber. Is what it is. So like, as you answer, so it would it would heat up, like pain was applied to them, and they had to like keep their blood pressure and their pulse down to continue going. So like it would just keep ratcheting up as they went, and so like it's a show specifically designed to hurt people, and
like,
it was
your cave like in Fight Club.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so it's like
how you resist the chamber.
Yeah. So the conditions, you have to answer 25 questions, and there's a hot chamber and a cold chamber. Both have wind gusts of up to 40 miles per hour, air cannons, simulated earthquakes increasing in intensity, electrodes contacting the player's muscles, oxygen levels gradually descending to 70 degrees, in addition to temperatures getting as high as 150 degrees or as low.
The action level is how they made Deadpool.
Yeah.
Like in the Deadpool movie. That's how you get a Deadpool.
Yeah. That's how you get Deadpool. Yeah.
Yeah. That really feels like a hat on a hat that you have to keep your heart rate down.
Yeah.
Like it just seems like answering the question should be hard enough. Like that's kind of hot mm-hmm. ones.
A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. And like, that's fine, I think. I mean, it sucks. But having to stay calm during it is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a totally different skill set.
This is also basically identical to The Chair, where it's a chair that hurts you.
Okay, and how long do you stay in that chair?
Yeah, hosted by John McEnroe. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good. I'm in favor. Mm-hmm. This is all dark and bleak, and it's really funny to me. The good version of Who's Your Daddy that I saw, I can't remember what it's called, but the contestant was a bachelorette, and she was in on it, and an actor played her fiancé.
Okay.
And the actor was a big comic book slob, like with his hands, did all this stuff. And they had to do the engagement and get all the way to the I do without their family, like selling it to their family.
Like, oh wait. So like,
it was to trick the family.
We are both in this. Like she's, you know, she is just a lady reality television show contestant. Is the slob, is he an actor? Or is he just a guy?
Okay. No, he's a guy. At first it felt just real mean-spirited. Like, can you fool your family into thinking you're marrying a fat guy? Like that's what it looked like. But no, he's an actor.
Okay.
Who's lummox maxing.
And they come up with like scenarios.
Yeah. They come up with scenarios and they just show the family reacting to it and they have to trick the family.
I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And like, you know, because no harm, no foul. The family gets freaked out because they don't like who you're marrying. But like at the end, you didn't marry them and you just got a bunch of money.
Uh-huh.
And they just looked like idiots.
What, you know, what was this called?
I can't remember.
Oh.
Yeah, Problem Fiancé or Nightmare Fiancé, maybe.
Okay.
It might be Nightmare Fiancé.
Okay.
My Nightmare Fiancé. Something like that.
Yeah. YouTube Nightmare Fiance abused toddler. I don't think this is the one.
That's a totally different reality show where they abuse toddlers. That one didn't even make it to air.
No.
Yeah. Huh. There wasn't a game to it.
A Bride's Nightmare. That's a TV movie. Yeah, there was no game. It was really just horrible. They could never find where they were. They could never find where they were filming it. They would keep trying to track the signal.
When getting contestants was super tough.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, nobody wanted to do it. And this was during the time of reality shows where people were volunteering Honey's Boo Boo.
Yeah,
you people. Know, and toddlers and tiaras. They were putting those toddlers in tiaras.
There were people who were volunteering to go on Who's Your Daddy.
Yeah, but they couldn't get somebody to do Toddler Nightmare or whatever. Yeah. Who's Your Toddler?
Toddler.
Where it's a bunch of babies trying to convince a mom that it's their baby. They take the baby at birth. And then they mix it up with 12 different babies, and the baby wins if they can fool her. That's got legs.
Just call it maternity ward mix-up.
The I love it. I don't know, cruel reality shows, like the line between what you can make up and what actually happened isn't very thick.
No, no. They yeah. did make a room that would kill a person and then make them answer trivia questions inside of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty great. Mm-hmm. The I'm kind of excited. Fear Factor is coming back with Johnny Knoxville.
Oh,
I just like Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, no, he's fun. He's fun to watch,
and he'll do all the things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like Joe Rogan, who has like no charisma on that show. And even yeah. putting aside his evil controversy acknowledged, like, worse than controversy acknowledged,
yeah,
great
yeah.
evil acknowledged. But he's yeah. just short and just said things. Like, he wasn't charismatic on that show, and he was not going to eat a beetle.
No, fuck no.
Yeah, you know, but Johnny Knoxville will eat a fucking beetle.
Yeah, Johnny Knoxville will eat a beetle like on the way to the set.
Yeah, like for sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, he'll Ringo and George. What should people do if they like this show?
If people like this show, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and support us. The only reason we're able to do as many shows as we do is because you have been so generous with us. You get stuff in the in return, whole bonus shows and things like that. But you keep us going.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Let us keep our producer employee, Gwen. Big thanks to mm-hmm. Gwen. And if you can't patronize us, we understand. Even though it is only like $1.25 a week, but you can do. I mean, it is less than.
No, I gotcha.
No,
I
you
gotcha.
Can't buy anything for that now. Yeah. But you can leave us ratings, reviews in Apple Podcast Addict.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's great. That also helps. It lets people learn about it.
Yeah,
and that helps us grow.
Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this when it comes out, this weekend is, or wait, is it? Yeah, no. Yeah. This weekend, the 12th, December 12th through the 14th is Duckstream, streaming for 48 hours to raise money for Point of Pride, an organization that provides, actual direct financial aid to trans people, needing, healthcare services.
Yeah. Good cause.
Yeah.
Our first year, partnering with them. So it'd be nice if we made a good showing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're able to give, please do. If you're not able, please spread the word.
Yes.
As usual. Until next time, what should they do, Kay?
Until next time, they should remember to have opened this tab and refreshed it, because for some reason the size gets all weird.
You closed and it?
No, I didn't close it. Oh. No, I didn't close it. I just had more tabs open and I was not back to it. Let's see here. This has been Abject Suffering, where we're not too afraid to admit that Walter Mondale was right the whole time.